Be seated, please. Okay, if you've been visiting with us this morning, which I see some of our visitors are back, welcome, welcome. There's a pouch in the pastor in front of you, but there's an envelope that's got a card and a pen, and it would sure love it if you'd fill out some information and give it to us. There's a basket on the right of the doors as you head out, and you can put it in that basket, and it just give us a little info about you and maybe an ability to contact you and make you know you're welcome and learn a little bit about you. So if you'd love to do that, we'd appreciate it. So who's got our opening? There we go.
Some announcements. I was asked to advise everyone that on the table in the hall out in the front is some food. It is free food. I guess the gardeners in the neighborhood have delivered some of it for those of you that would like to take it. Anyway, it is free food. Please help yourself. There's a prayer meeting every Sunday morning at 9:00 in the morning in the hall, in the room right back here. Please join us. Everyone is welcome. It's 9:00 in the morning. Women's Bible study Wednesday night. Terry Buckler is leading the study of the book of Joshua. All women are welcome. Wednesday night Bible study and prayer meeting at 6:00 p.m. Everyone is welcome also to that. Friday morning at 8:00 in Red Dome up in this little town north of here, we have a prayer meeting. It's a serious prayer men's meeting. I wouldn't tell you that there wasn't a few tall tales, but anyway, it's a good, serious prayer meeting. And every man is welcome, and please come join us. Let's go to prayer. Heavenly Father, you are an awesome, awesome God. And we come to your house of worship to praise you and to pray and to sing and to read and to listen. We pray, Father, for Mike McFarland as he preaches this day's sermon. Pray that you give him the words to say and the lesson which you have delivered unto him. We pray, Father, that all present will feel and sense your presence here. We pray, Father, that all people who are present will know as they listen that they have heard the word of God. We pray that all present will grow in wisdom and faith and understanding. We pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen. The scripture reading this morning is 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. 1 John verse 1 or chapter 1, verse 1 through 10. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you the eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And if we say we have no sin, we have deceived ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us.
Well, good morning, church. Boy, it's good to see each one of you and the visitors that are back again. Glad I didn't run you off. Brad, that was good. You change your name to Old Leather Lungs, I'm telling you. You good. Brenda, as always, it's so inspiring to hear you play. We appreciate you so much. And Brad, for ministering to in our church in those ways. For those of you who will ask and who have asked, let me get some truth out there. I have a red eye, where Nancy hit me. She said, shut up. I thought she said, stand up. But no, not really. It's an allergy. And so might pray for that. Doesn't bother me a whole lot, but it's probably would do much better with your prayers. Grace. Boy, we heard a lot of grace this morning. That's a message, a grace message, not of ourselves. It's all and wholly of God. Appreciate that. I was reading as I normally do, and I ran across this little piece. A church had a picnic and invited the entire community to come. The pastor placed a basket of apples, brand new picked apples, on one end of the table and put a sign there, please only take one. Remember, God is watching. On the other end of this long table was a plate of cookies, and where one of the children had placed a sign saying, take all you want, God's watching the apples. So we were taught a little bit about that in our Sunday school, and Terry, it's always amazed me, and today is another opportunity that this thing occurs. What he speaks about in Sunday school is also something we'll be covering this morning in our sermon, and that is light and darkness. It's always amazed me how that happens, and it happens again today. There's a sign that is in a local church, and it says, can you tell me why a $10 bill looks so small at the grocery store, so big at church? So application probably can be made on that. A story about one more, and I'll quit and get into the sermon. People say that's what this time is for, but you know, I enjoy laughter. A small town had four churches, a Presbyterian, Methodist, Catholic, and a Bible church. All four had a serious problem with squirrels in the church. Each church, in its own fashion, had a meeting and tried to come up with a solution to the problem of the squirrels. The Presbyterians decided that it was predestined that squirrels be in the church and that they would just have to live with them. The Methodists decided that they should deal with the squirrels lovingly and in the style of Charles Wesley. They humanely trapped them and released them in a park at the edge of town, and within 3 days, the squirrels had returned to the church. Well, the Catholics also humanely trapped them and attempted to teach them the rhythm method, which, of course, did not work. The Bible Church had the best solution. They voted the squirrels in as members, and now they only see them at Christmas and Easter. I'm sorry, I could not avoid those this morning. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Get serious here. Father, we come to you this morning. Father, what a good sound laughter is in your house. Father, you would have us to be, your word calls it joyful. Father, we're joyful today. Not only, Father, from the jokes, but Father, we're joyful in the fact that we are saved by grace, we're kept by grace, we have a life that you would have us live by grace. Father, we thank you so much for that. The grace, Father, that is poured out upon us on a daily basis, undeserving as we are, pitiful and poor and unable, Father, to have lives honoring and glorifying to you in and of ourselves. And we'll be looking at that this morning. And Father, we just thank you that your grace is there, ever sustaining, ever keeping, ever encouraging, ever pointing the way. We have your grace, and we thank you so much for grace. And Father, we ask that you'd be with us in our study. May you be honored and glorified, and we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. We're looking in the book of 1 John. We'll be covering the three epistles of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. But we're looking at 1 John chapter 1 today. Last week we gave you an overview of 1 John. The Gospel of John, not 1 John, but the Gospel of John says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So we find here in the book of John, John wrote about this thing of the beginning, in the beginning. And now in 1 John, he says this in 1:1 of 1 John, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the Word of God." These two beginnings are different beginnings. They're not the same beginning. From the beginning here in 1 John 1 is not the beginning of John 1:1. Beyond time and eternity past, nor beginning in Genesis 1:1, these are not the beginnings that John is speaking about here in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. We find that this beginning that is mentioned here in 1 John 1:1 goes back to the incarnation of Christ, being born, living his life here on this earth. This is the beginning that John is speaking about here in 1 John 1:1. We find that this beginning goes back to the incarnation, the earthly life of Christ, and also we find that it is something that is particular to this book of 1 John, this beginning. We find here in chapter 1 also, we find that we have heard. John said, "We have heard." John is building a basis upon the book of 1 John, this writing here. He is building a foundation, if you would. Now, my brother and I spent some time this week at a place where he is building a home and moving his cattle operation. We spent a week there. And boy, this morning I can tell it. Day before yesterday, and installing all of the pipe that we had laid the week before, I had an opportunity to get down in that hole that's about 3.5-4 feet deep, where all the connection is made and where the water was at. And the land there is very, what you would say, very quicksand-like when you're in it and there's water. And I'm there in a pair of boots, rubber boots, sunk in about halfway up these rubber boots. And I'm working away, and I decide that it's time for me to move. And so I move, and I fall backwards. Now, do you know how cold that water was? It was cold. It made me suck air. It was so cold. And we went ahead and did all we could do that day. And I drove home with a change of clothes that I was smart enough to take with me. I changed clothes and went home. Yesterday, he was in the hole. And guess what happened to him? The same thing. And so we send him home in wet clothes. I'm not quite sure what our wives thought we were doing, but we were not swimming and we were not looking forward to the beach. We were looking forward to getting out of that hole. John is talking about here how he began this ministry of writing 1 John. He says that we've learned these things by three avenues. We've heard the gospel, the apostles we've read, we've understood. We have seen him, Christ himself, literally. John was able to put his eyes upon Christ, to view him, to see him, to fellowship with him. I'm sure there were opportunities where they possibly shook hands, or maybe other moments in which John's physically was able to be there close to the Lord. And also he said that they looked upon, that is literally gazed upon Christ. They saw him as he was, God-man, God manifested in the flesh. They saw him in that way. They looked upon him. And that looked upon is literally gazed upon him. In other words, they were mesmerized at times as they saw Christ, saw the miracles that he did, saw the way in which he spoke to people. They had a first-hand experience. Now, I've been on vacation before, and I have enjoyed sights in Colorado and in Florida and states in between. In my travels, I traveled as on my job, and I saw things that I'd never seen before. And I would come home and, on those instances, try to share the things that I saw with my wife. But I could not put into words all of the expressions of enjoyment that I got out of the things that I saw. John is sort of the same way. He is trying to build a basis and a foundation upon this book of 1 John, how to put it into words. He was setting his or making his case for him being, should I say, the authority. He had the right to speak as he's going to write here in 1 John. And so we find here that he used these three things to establish his authority in writing the book. We've heard him speak. We've seen the things that he's done, the voice that he used. Have you ever thought about what it would be like to hear the voice of God? Well, John saw, John heard, and John said, we have heard, we have seen, and we have gazed upon him. We have took in the method of ministry that he used. And John uses this authority in his writing here in the book of 1 John. We find as Moses had lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man would be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That's John chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. So, as Moses instructed the Jewish people to gaze upon the serpent in order to thwart the illness that they were having with the snakes and the problems and the Jewish people were experiencing at that time, John said, you look up and see this serpent, and you'll be delivered. We find also Moses said that, but John is saying this is what took place. And then we find that John said, behold my hands. Christ said, behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. So he wanted them to handle his hands, to see the holes, to see his side, which he was wounded. And so we find that John said, I have seen all of these things. This is my, if you would, my right, my authority to write this book of 1 John. We find in verse 2, for the life was manifested, and we've seen it. What life? Christ himself. Christ is life to those of us who know Christ as our personal Savior. Christ is life to the whole world, whether they believe or not. But this is the life, John writes, for the life was manifested, and we've seen it. The life that Christ proposed, the life that Christ provides, they saw, they tasted, they acted upon Christ's encouragement. For the life was manifested, and we've seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. Christ himself, God-man, John was able to see, to fellowship with, to hear, to respond to be instructed by none other than God himself. We find here the apostles saw eternal life firsthand, Jesus Christ. We have trusted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior without having seen him. John was able to see him in his earthly ministry. We find in verse 3, imagine this, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. Can you imagine sitting there under Christ's teaching, walking with him in the way as he traveled, one-on-one, speaking directly to God himself here on this earth? Can you imagine that? John says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Fellowship. How would you like to sit down and have a meal as John did with Jesus Christ, God himself manifested in the flesh? Fellowship, meaning having in common or sharing with Christian fellowship. That's the kind of fellowship that John, the Apostle John, had in his walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Sharing the things of Christ. Asking questions concerning the truths that Christ taught. How would that be? Can you just imagine that? Well, this was the case with John. And he writes, as well as Paul, Paul used fellowship when speaking of praying and teaching, the Word of God, the Lord's Supper, and giving. This type of fellowship, when Christ gave a command, they could question him. They could fellowship with him. They could listen as he explained the things that he was trying to get across to them. In verse 4, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Joy. Sometimes this old world is not the source of joy. And God would have us have him as our source of joy. Things can get rough in this old world. People can get ugly with you. They can get short-tempered with you. They can do any manner of things that will ruin your day. But joy for the believer is one of the purposes John wrote this epistle. And he said, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. There's some truths here in 1 John. John is saying that these things that I'm going to write to you in this epistle will allow you and cause you to have joy. We find in verse 5, John writes, and he said, this then is the message which we've heard of him. John is getting the attention of those in which he wrote, to which he wrote. We find the book of 1 John is almost like a family-type letter. John was concerned about the family of God, and John is writing to them. And we find here that he says, this then is the message which we've heard of him. Listen close. This is what we've heard from God himself in the form of the Lord Jesus Christ. This then is the message, and we've heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light. There is a portion of Scripture that coincides with what we saw and heard in Sunday school this morning. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. We find that this is God is light, is not a light such as the light of a street light. Light is used here in a moral sense or character. It means the holiness of God that searches out and penetrates the darkness of sin in our lives and in the lives of others and the evil. Sin cannot exist in God's presence, as darkness cannot exist in the presence of the physical light. Light is life-giving, we find in John chapter 1, verse 4, and we read there, in him, John chapter 1, verse 4, the Gospel of John, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Light speaks of the glory, the majesty, the radiance, the beauty, the purity, the stainless holiness of God. That kind of light. That is a serious kind of light. In verse 6 we read, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Darkness can penetrate the life of any believer. Many times, I'm sorry to say, in my life, and if you are honest with me, in your life, we have darkness. The condition here is if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. That's the situation. In our walk with the Lord, how honest are we? Are we walking in light, or at times are we walking in darkness? Well, we find in this old earthly body, sometimes we will have moments, maybe hours, maybe days of darkness, simply because we're not walking in fellowship with him. Darkness is more than the opposite of light. It's hostile to God. God cannot stand the darkness. It's evil and denotes chaos. This refers to an attempt of disrespect to God himself. It's an attempt to bring God down to the level of man. If we say that we have fellowship and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. In verse 7 we read, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Any believer who walks in the light of the Word of God, we find, discovers sin in his life. And as a believer, He knows that the blood of Christ can cleanse him from sin as it did when he first came to Christ for salvation. Verse 6, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. While many of us try to bring God down to man's low level, others attempt the opposite. They attempt to lift themselves up. They claim sinless perfection and total sanctification. These actually are people who are deceiving themselves. They're guilty of self-deception and also lying in their walk with the Lord. Verse 1-9, we find here in 1 John 1-9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, we find that God cannot be brought down to man's low level, and man cannot attain God's high level because of his good works or good intention. Man finds himself in a pretty good dilemma here. How is that handled? What can we do? Note the same thing that God says. God says that they are acts of sin. We need to confess those. They are disrespectful to God. We ought to confess that. We need to tell it to God as it is. Not, God, boy, I just, I made a mistake. It's amazing to me how many believers can't stand to use the word, the little word, S-I-N, sin. Sin is sin. Sin is not a mistake. Sin is sin. And we find here that God says that we need to confess those things, meaning to say the same thing that God says. That's all it means, is to confess to God that it's sin. We see it as he sees it. We need to tell it to God as it is. The sin should be spelled out. Not, God, boy, I really messed up, God. I'm sorry about that. We need to confess it, be specific in our confession, our agreement with God. He's faithful to forgive and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, that's the work of the blood of Jesus Christ. He cleanses us from all uncleanliness. We read that in verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Christ, blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth. That is a present tense, continual present tense, cleanseth us from all sin so that we can walk in the light. So God can reward us. So God can be encouraged in our faithfulness. And God, I think many times you say, does God need encouragement? Well, let me rephrase that. I think that we need the encouragement in knowing that God is well pleased with our walk. We find in 1 John chapter 1, verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. We make him a liar. In other words, if we say we've not sinned, God says we have sinned, we say we have not sinned, we make God a liar. And his word is not in us. We make God a liar when we say we do not sin because he says we do. And if we're honest with ourselves, we would say that also. We make or are calling God a liar. Believe me, I don't want to be one who is truthfully accused of calling God a liar. Many things here in the book of 1 John are some things that we might question. We find in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. This then, here in 1 John 2:1, is the third factor of us having fellowship with God in Christ. God's arrangement for a believer not to sin is a perfect arrangement, but our entrance into it is imperfect. An advocate is one who is like an attorney or is an attorney, called to the side of a client to comfort him, to encourage him in a time of trouble. He's a comforter. The Lord Jesus Christ is in heaven to defend the sinning believer from the charge of the accuser of the brethren. So we find here that Christ is in heaven making intercession for you and I. I'm so glad that He is. Many times it's really hard for me to go before God and to adequately for my peace and comfort. It's hard for me to adequately come before Him and to feel like that I have made an authentic attempt to confess that which I've done. Here we find that Christ is there to make intercession, to plead our case, if you would. We find in verse 2, and He is the propitiation, the perfect sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Without His defense, our lives would not be complete, would not be as enjoyable as a believer as they are. Without His defense, the sinning saint would be in deep trouble. He's the sacrifice that makes the throne of God a mercy seat, and we all need mercy. He is rich in mercy. Propitiation is expiation, the basis on which God extends mercy. He becomes our mercy seat. So we find here that He says in verse 1 of 1 John 2, and this is the question that I want to leave with you. And He says in verse 1 of chapter 2, "My little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." What we read earlier was, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 1, chapter 2, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father." It almost seems like what we read in 1 John is unnecessary as we look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. But don't count on that, because that is not the case. And next week we'll look at what is the case and why the difference in the sounding of the instructions that we have as God's children to confess our sin, receive His forgiveness and His cleansing. And at the same time, Christ is in heaven pleading our case. He's our representative. He's standing there as I picture Him in my mind, or else sitting there, right hand of God. And He says, "Father, I paid for that sin. I paid for that sin. I paid for that sin. Paid it in full. Made the payment that you declared was necessary for that sin." If we're here this morning, you're here this morning, you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you can walk out that door this morning knowing that all of your sins have been paid for and heaven's your home. God's Word says it's a gift, this eternal life. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a gift given to all of those who simply, the best way they know how, trust Christ, what He's done for them to get them to heaven. My prayer is this morning, if you're here and do not know Christ as your personal Savior, know that all of your sins have been paid for, that the best way you know how, you would trust Him and what He's done for you to get you to heaven. Let's pray this morning. Heads bowed and eyes closed. You're here this morning, the best way you know how. You've never done it before, but the best way you know how, you're trusting Christ and what He's done for you to get you to heaven. I'd count it a privilege to pray for you in the days and weeks to come. The only way I know that you're doing that, to pray for you, is to ask you to just simply lift up your hand till I see it, and then you can put it down. Lifting your hand doesn't save you, but it will give me an opportunity to pray for you. Won't get with you after the service, embarrass you in any way, when you're in the Lord. If you're here this morning, you're trusting Christ and what He's done for you, would you just slip up your hand, put it down again, anybody? Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you so much for saving grace. We thank you so much for a love that we'll never understand this side of heaven. Thank you for your leading and directing your conviction. Oh, Father, how important the conviction that we have of sin in our life. Father, not just the major, what we would term major things. Father, the way in which we speak and the euphemisms we use in lieu of the curse words. Father, just remind us that every area of our life should be open. And Father, should be above board and should be, as your word would declare it, light and not darkness. Father, help us to not conform ourselves, our ideas, our ideals, our goals, to the goals and ideals of this world. Father, may we always be constantly concerned about those around us who need to know Christ as their personal Savior. Give us those opportunities. Father, may we be found faithful in each one that you give us. Father, we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
If you'll open your hymn books, number one.